5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with myself, Hayden Gullis, and as always, joined by the incredible, hilarious James Coker. We are today getting ready for a spicy Italian Grand Prix. But before we get into our predictions and talk about the Italian Grand Prix, as per usual, every time myself and James sit down for a podcast, we discuss the news in Formula One. We predict potentially what's going to happen. And then a couple of hours later, some big news drops and throws everything we have said out of the window. The big news this week being that Logan Sargeant has been dropped by Williams and Franco Colapinto is going to be replacing him for the remainder of the races. Now, this is huge news, James.
Huge news, and it always happens. We record, and then like an hour later, something big drops. We're cursed, I'm telling you. It's like F1 always waits to make it. They're tracking us, and they wait for us to record, and then they're like, okay, now we're going to drop some big news.
Exactly. It's almost like anytime we say something, someone in Formula One goes and does the opposite. So, do you know what? Adrian Newey is not going to sign with Aston Martin tomorrow. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. All right. We'll be waiting that news later on.
And the second we stop recording, he's going to sign with...
Boom. Brabham
is back on the grid.
Brabham's back on the grid. I was going to say he's off to Haas. He just loves America. Yeah, they're just giving him as many stakes as he can possibly get his chops around.
I love it. So Logan Sargeant is out. I know that we are not very surprised about this. We kind of saw it coming.
Yeah.
But
I was surprised it happened this week. As I said last week, I was expecting it to happen after Monza. So the fact that with only a week gap, I was quite surprised by that.
Right. He's being replaced by Franco Colapinto, currently sixth place in the F2 standings. It's Colapinto, not Colapinto, like the sign said. Did you see that?
No. Well, on their graphic.
I don't know if this was real or not, but I saw a post that they replaced Logan Sargeant's sign in the paddock and put up Franco Colapinto's, but it said Colapinto.
Oh, above the garage.
Yeah, but it said Colapinto, not Colapinto. It was spelled wrong. And it looked real, but I don't know. But a lot of us are asking why Franco Colapinto. Yes, very strong driver, currently sixth in F2. He's the first Argentine driver in Formula One since 2001. Well, we now, as of this morning, might know some of the reasons why this specific driver was picked. Williams Racing just today announced that technology company Globant is an official partner of the team. And do you know, Hayden, where Globant was founded?
Well, I'm going to guess that it is potentially in Argentina.
That is correct.
Yes.
It was found. Globant was founded in 2003 as a startup in Buenos Aires, and they have been a longtime partner with Franco Colapinto. So it's very possible that Williams Racing went shopping, right, and tried to figure out what driver could they plug in there for the remainder of the season that would be able to bring some financial benefit to Williams and maybe recoup some of the money lost with all of the crashes that Logan Sargeant brought on them this season.
Yeah, I mean, you have Mick Schumacher, who potentially could have given them some discounts on engines, as Mick Schumacher is currently working with Mercedes. Mm-hmm. Williams is supplied by Mercedes for engines, so could have been something there. But you look at Mick Schumacher and his, unfortunately, his previous history with Haas, and he was also another driver who was be regarded by some people as a binner, you know, someone who put, has put it in the wall one too many times. So that, unfortunately, has put a tick next to his name that maybe Williams didn't want to go for. Then you have Liam Lawson, outstandingly clean driver. I don't think he had a single issue in the four races, I believe it was, that he drove with RB. But there's this rumor around. I think the reason why Red Bull didn't want to give him away is because they might potentially need him after the Mexican Grand Prix. When Perez is out, Ricciardo moves to Red Bull, and they need someone to fill his space in RB, which is looking like to be Lawson. So, yeah. Then who do they go for? Like, I was surprised that they replaced him with another rookie.
Right.
But then when you really look at it, it's like, who else are you going to put in there?
Yeah, for sure. And so, I mean, you know, I think Franco Colapinto is probably, you know, he's deserves a shot in a Formula One seat. But I think this Globant connection and the fact that they're partnering with Williams, I think might be one of the many reasons that he ended up getting the edge over someone like Mick Schumacher or Liam Lawson. So I, you know, it's really interesting, but we know that's how this sport goes. It's a business. You know what I mean?
Money talks, baby. Money talks. Dirty cash, I want you. Dirty cash,
what is
I need
that?
You more. That's the song, isn't it?
I have no idea what song you're talking
about.
You don't
know what that song that is?
No.
I would have thought that's more your era than my era.
No, I have no idea what song you're talking about.
I feel like I remember just playing Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and just, you know, running down a few people, listening to that tune. So I was going to say it's not on that game now, but, you know, it's just...
This is a tangent, but I feel like GTA brings the worst out of people. It's like, oh, this is a world where there are no consequences for my actions, so I'm just going to tap into like my most evil self.
Exactly. Exactly. I feel like that's a, again, off tangent, but that's a great opportunity if, you know, your early dating phase, play a little bit of GTA, and then you can really see what your future partner is like, you know?
Yeah.
How crazy do they go? Sometimes, I haven't actually seen my girlfriend playing GTA, but I can imagine she'll be stopping at traffic lights and driving very respectfully. That's what I feel like.
I love that. If you were if you're a Formula One driver and you're playing Grand Theft Auto, which drivers on the grid are law-abiding citizens and which ones are like breaking every law possible?
Alex Albon, law-abiding citizen. I don't think he's running anyone over. Max Verstappen is trying to take down as many people as he possibly can. He's always on. Max Verstappen has never not got a wanted level when he's playing Grand Theft Auto. He's always got the police after him.
He's constantly running around, pulling people out of their cars, stealing their cars, running over grandmas.
Who else is going to be? I feel like Lewis Hamilton isn't running people down, but he's definitely driving as fast as possible around the streets, doing drifts. You know, like that video that he posted when he went to Tokyo for the last 2 years, mm-hmm. and he's just, you know, whipping it around in car lots and doing some drifts and doing some donuts and stuff like that. That's what I can see Lewis Hamilton doing.
I feel like Yuki Tsunoda would be pretty mischievous in GTA as
well. He's running everyone down as well. Yeah, but he's flipping them all off at the same time. He's doing that.
Too good. Love it. Speaking of Alex Albon, I feel like Alex Albon posted an incredibly classy message of support to Logan Sargeant. I think a lot of drivers could have said nothing or maybe posted something to the stories, but he, you know, had a message in the main saying he really enjoyed his time driving with Logan Sargeant and said, like, I know you're going to be amazing at whatever you do, whatever the next step in your career is. And I think it just shows what a good person Alex Albon is and just how classy he is. It was really nice to see.
Yeah. I think, you know, Alex has been there before and we've been speaking about it for a while. And I feel like it's kind of our jobs as a motorsport podcast to have to be, you know, critical at the end of the day of people. If something's not going to plan, you know, you can't just hide from that and not talk about it. You do have to talk about it. But at the same time, you can feel sorry. And I do feel massively sorry for Logan Sargeant. This is somebody who's put his whole entire life into this career. He's managed to reach Formula One. It's been pulled away from him. So obviously, your heart definitely goes out from him. And Alex Albon is somebody who has been there before, but also knows that he has bounced back from it. And you never know. You know, Logan Sargeant is still a really young driver. Just because now, okay, that's your career done in that moment. Who knows what could happen? Go to a different discipline. Work maybe in the background as a reserve. Impress the right people. And you can potentially find your feet back again. Or if he goes over to IndyCar, who knows? That could also be a parachute for him to perform really well at. And you know, get people talking about the Logan Sargeant name in a positive way. So it's very sad that somebody who has put so much into this has lost their seat, but it's also very exciting that there's another new driver coming onto the field and we're excited to see how they are going to perform. So I mean, you just have those two sides of the stone, whatever I'm talking about. I don't know, but it's sad but positive at the same time.
It also never seemed like to be the right fit for Logan Sargeant. He never seemed to find his footing, and
yeah,
with the exception of like I think a few performances in qualifying, like never really had any great moments of joy. It was all stress.
No, and like you go back a few years ago and he was fighting with Oscar Piastri for the F3 championship, I think back in 2020, because I believe it was COVID times.
Yeah.
And there was a very close battle between those two. So, and it went down to the championship finale for that title. So there is a very talented driver in there, and there has been throughout the past. And I believe he lost funding, so had to go to one of the worst teams down the grid, and still managed to find his way back up into a Formula One seat.
Right.
But yeah, you're completely right. Something just didn't really gel with him in the F1, in the Williams car, in the F1 car. But as a top-end driver, and you know, people should be... You can have good drivers in Formula 1, and people like a Valtteri Bottas and a Sergio Perez, who are really good drivers, but they're never going to be world championship material unless they have everything running completely perfect for them, and also don't have a incredible, you know, GOAT category driver alongside them. You're more than welcome to have those drivers in there, but you have to impress, and you have to impress at the right teams. If you're jumping in at Williams, I feel like Williams is one of those teams that you have to be strong at very early into your career. Mm-hmm. Oscar Piastri with McLaren, they are in a good, healthy position that they can give that luxury and give that time and be like, okay, cool, you make a few mistakes, it's all good, it's not a problem. We've got Lando Norris here who's going to be getting us the majority of the points, and we're also a team that's currently, you know, in the top end of the field. So if you have a bad day, you're probably still going to score points, so it's still good and we can learn from that. Whereas Williams, you have a bad day, you know, you could have lost that one opportunity of a point that season. So, it's just a shame for rookies coming into those bottom teams, but that's unfortunately where they're going to find themselves more likely joining the grid.
For lack of a better term, when it comes to the world of Formula One, them's the brakes.
Them's the brakes.
B-R-A-K-E-S. The brakes. Yeah.
The brakes.
Yeah. It's later in the day. I thought you might find that funny. Anyway.
I don't get the reference at all.
You know, when people say, you know the phrase, them's the breaks? Like, oh, sorry, this didn't work out, but them's the breaks. But it's,
I think that might be an American thing rather than an English thing.
All right, whatever.
I think that's an American thing.
Okay, ha-ha, moving on. Next up, employees of Renault F1 are on strike and planning a protest at Monza in response to Alpine's decision to no longer manufacture their own power units. I wonder if Renault F1's like, oh, we're going to go on strike. We're no longer going to make power units anymore. And Alpine fans are like, do you promise?
That's a very fair point. Do you know what? I think they've absolutely smashed it. If you're going to plan a weekend to go on strike on, Monza's a great one because Italians have got great weather, great food. Milan's a beautiful city, so they can all enjoy Milan. Then they can go have some great pasta or pizza. So I think they've done a brilliant job rather than, I don't know, protesting in the UK. It was raining. You're not going to have a great time. And what do you want? Some some, I don't know, fish and chips is decent stuff, but we have very bland food over in the UK.
I'm leaning into stereotypes here, but I feel like Italians are very good at not doing their job. So good place to
that
do
really
it.
Is leaning into stereotypes. Is that why we've currently got no F1 drivers that are Italian on the grid?
Well, it's like I've talked to people who work in film and TV, and they're like, oh, you try to film a movie or a TV show in Italy, like, good luck, because crew members just disappear. They take like 3-hour long breaks. Like, they just do whatever they want, whenever they want.
That sounds great. I'm going to move to Italy. Screw going to the Netherlands. I'm going to Italy.
We had a crash today, and we haven't even had a practice session.
Yes.
Today, the F1 safety car crashed at Monza at the famous Parabolica corner. When was the last time we saw a safety car crash? This never happens, right?
I've never, ever seen it, apart from... I don't think it was the safety car. I think it was the medical car. Brazil 2003, I want to say, where the medical car pulled over off the side of the track. I think it was maybe Rubens Barrichello or somebody else went way too hot into a corner, tried to dodge it, and it was as the driver of the medical car or the assistant opened the door and the car hits the door. No one was hurt, but car like rips the door off of the medical car. That's the only time, as well as I think maybe it was a safety car or a medical car, that ran over a driver once going very, very slowly. But those are the only two incidents that I can think of where a safety car has been involved in something that's just like, damn, okay. Apart from watching IndyCar, actually, not last year, the year before, maybe it was last year, at Laguna Seca, and it ran out of fuel, so they had to refuel it.
Yeah, man. But that was that was pretty scary. And they said actually the driver, safety car driver, expertly kind of maneuvered the car as it was spinning out on the gravel to minimize the impact, which is wild to have that, to be thinking about that in that split second moment when your car is about to crash.
Well, I'm just thinking because I think they put it in sideways. Obviously, I feel like that's a lot better than going in front ways. But at the same time, I'm pretty sure there's always two people in that safety car. So he's basically gone, I'm going to be fine because I think the driver's side's on the right.
I'm going to sacrifice the other guy.
So he's like, sorry, mate, you're getting the brunt. See you later.
It's amazing that the drivers have that ability to think about that in the moment when they're crashing. There was a video I watched on Nico Rosberg's YouTube channel.
Yes, I think I know what you're talking about. Yes.
And it's where he talked about driving the Zandvoort circuit. And he talked about his time, I believe, in F3 when he was driving a race at Zandvoort and had a pretty big crash, and talked about maneuvering the car as it was spinning out in the gravel so he hit on the side, not head on, to minimize not just the damage to the car, but also potential injury to himself. And I think it just shows how experienced and incredibly skilled these drivers are to think in that split second to make that decision to not just save parts of the car, but to save themselves.
Yeah. I think the rule is when you're crashing, and this is usually at more high speed, that you're definitely not going to catch it. If it's head on, hold on to the wheel. It's going to help you brace for impact, basically. But if you're going at any sort of angle, let go of the wheel because the wheel can go crazy, which obviously we saw last season with Daniel Ricciardo breaking his hand from the steering wheel flicking back. So if you're going sideways, let go, let the wheel do its thing and just hold on to your seatbelts like this.
Yeah.
But Lewis Hamilton, I think, so I was actually thinking you were going to talk about something else. I think it was Nico Rosberg that spoke about Lewis Hamilton and said that Lewis holds onto the wheel going into a wall if he thinks he can catch it, and will try and move the front axle so that it will always hit the wall side on, as you were talking about, and therefore I feel like it's a lot easier to bounce off of a barrier if you hit it with your tires rather than a rear wing or front wing. The only worry, of course, with that is if you're going with the rear tire, you can break the gearbox as it just sends that force through the rear axle and can damage your gearbox. But you can get quite lucky with it, especially if you just hit the front axle side on. You can sort of turn your wheel to make sure you align that up, and that's what Lewis Hamilton has that ability to do. I think it was maybe Hockenheim 2019 was absolutely chucking it down, ran off wide, went off into the gravel, went to the barrier, but was able to come in, was followed up by, I think, the longest pit stop ever before Valtteri Bottas's one, which was like 1 minute long. But yeah, So I'm not too sure how great it was, but he did save the car.
I want to give credit to Nico Rosberg because I think his YouTube channel is actually great. It's really interesting to see how he's changed. And I know he gets a bad rap and they talk about the Nico Rosberg selfie curse all the time, but like maybe it's an act. I don't know. But when I watch some of his videos on his channel, it seems like maybe he has much less of an ego now than he did when he was a driver. And he just seems like a better person. I don't know. Maybe that just comes with like age and experience and wisdom, but I feel like it's a different side that we see now than what you saw when he was competing in Formula One.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I mean, I really, really enjoy him being a pundit because I just feel like he's so honest. Mm-hmm. And if somebody brings up, oh, I hear this, I've heard this rumor in the paddock, he does not care. He will question that person, go, where'd you hear it from? Go on, expose that person. Come on, tell us, where'd it come from? I want to know. Like, he is also the audience as well as giving the audience details and information, which I think is really, really good. And yeah, I mean, I can completely see and understand that. I think a lot of drivers kind of get that rap. Sebastian Vettel had a terrible rap when he was at Red Bull. You know, it was dominating the sport, gave the little annoying, arrogant finger wag at P1 all the time, and everyone really despised it. It was the first time I ever saw booing on the podium was for Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, toward the end of his run, yeah, he became a villain. Yeah. And it's so interesting that he's now one of the most beloved people on the grid.
Exactly. You know, Ferrari, he was liked a lot more. Obviously, he had that incident where he was a bit reckless when he was fighting for the championship and he turned into Lewis at Baku, which didn't give him a good rap. But other than that, you know, everyone loved him since then. And I think when you take yourself out of that situation where you're fighting, I feel like you don't want to give anything away when you're fighting for a championship.
Yeah.
So therefore, you're very closed off, but you're very self-centered as well, because you have to be. You know, you're trying to win that championship for yourself, not for everybody else. You're not trying to help out Lewis to win the championship. No, Rosberg's trying to win it himself. So that makes sense. And obviously now he's not racing, he can be like, cool, we can be a lot more fun and a lot more open and we can give this information away. So yeah, I agree.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
We saw a little bit of a, I don't want to say, it was like a small verbal altercation at a press conference recently between Christian Horner and journalist and presenter Natalie Pinkham. They kind of went at it at one another when she asked him about Sergio Perez's status at Red Bull. And I feel like it's very rare these days to see a driver or a team principal be that confrontational with a reporter. I think often they'll just sort of dismiss the question and not give them an answer. But he went back at her. And it was really interesting.
Yeah, I feel like this was something, because I did see it a lot on social media, and I feel like this is something that was maybe blown up a bit more by people on social media. Natalie Pinkham and Christian Horner, both been in the sport for quite a while. I feel like they would know each other quite well. And I believe the question back from Christian Horner, because Natalie Pinkham basically just asked, you know, why is Sergio Perez still in that seat? Like, what is the reason behind it?
Right, and which is a question that fans want to know.
Yeah, and everybody's asking it. You know, everybody's asking that question at the moment. Christian Horner just came back and said, "Who would you put in that car then?" Mm-hmm. because, you know, obviously everyone's asked him that question. So he's like, come on then, who do you want? Who do you think needs to go in that car? And obviously, right. I think as reporters who are trying to remain unbiased, then that's obviously a tricky question. And yes, okay, Christian Horner is trying to catch our reporter, which is unfair. But at the same time, I don't think it was as aggressive as people are making it out to be, as it's just to basically, come on, you know, if you think that he deserves to be dropped, who do you think should go in there?
And her response was, I'm not the team principal. It's not my job to make that decision.
It was a great response. I think it was a really, really good comeback as well. And for me, that makes great TV. That makes great watch. To watch people have personalities rather than just dismiss conversations and just go, no comment, basically.
Right.
You know, a lot of team principals and a lot of sportsperson are able to wrap up a question by basically saying no comment, but just adding a lot more waffle to it. So you get nothing out of that answer, but a little bit of back and forth. And it's like, cool. And then they're talking about it. It's on social media. And I personally, I didn't see anything massive about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but I think it goes back to the fact, and you've talked about this before on other podcasts, like how much Christian Horner always has his driver's backs. You will never see him throw a driver under the bus in public to the press.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people would have been expecting an answer to be along the lines of, oh, well, Sergio's not been performing so well, so he's really at risk now. And if he doesn't perform well, he's going to be out of that seat in a few races' time. Obviously, that's what people are going to kind of be expecting or wanting him to say. But he's not going to say that, because as soon as he said that, Sergio will be on social media. Sergio Perez will see that on social media and be like, what on earth is this?
Right.
And will be in his room pre-race, whatever, and will have that going through his mind that, well, what's the point of me even racing, because I'm basically going to be out of a seat anyway because they don't think I'm good enough.
Helmut Marko would say positive. Something like that.
Helmut Marko would say whatever he wants, but Helmut Marko, you've always got to take with a pinch of salt. But I think some drivers really like that, and that's why I think Max Verstappen really likes Helmut Marko, because the honesty is really good, and I think the Dutch are very, very honest people. They don't mince their words. They say it as it is. They say it straight. Or they don't say anything at all and just go,
I do know in response to that criticism that Natalie Pinkham got, she posted a photo of herself with Sergio Perez saying, believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. And, you know, I think she was just trying to do her job and ask a question that a lot of people wanted to know. And, I think you are right. I think it was probably more of a casual back and forth that might have been a little tense, but not that big of a deal. But we love blowing things out of proportion here.
That's what social media is for. It takes something and it just exaggerates it. And I don't think it was that too big of a deal.
Moving on. There are rumors. There are rumblings. There are whispers that Alpine might be back in the hunt for Adrian Newey. Do you think there is any substance to these rumors?
I'd be very, very surprised. But I have always said this about Alpine and the Enstone team for quite a while now, that I don't buy into them. Mm-hmm. And they've really, really impressed me this season by growing as a team from being one of the worst to now being a team that is regularly fighting for points, I would say. At the back end of the points, but regularly fighting for points.
Right.
And I've always said this about Alpine, that whenever they come out and say, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to be here, there's never, this is how we're going to get there. Aston Martin is the team that I always use as an example. Lawrence Stroll says, I want to get us to the top. I want us to win the championship. Cool. It's a great claim, but how are you going to do that? Cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to get the right people. We're going to buy out the right people and put them in Aston Martin. We're going to give them the best tools available, and we're also going to build the biggest campus, the biggest facilities that F1's ever seen to give those people the best chance to produce the best car. That is a logical reasoning. Obviously, it doesn't necessarily mean you are going to be able to build the best car, but that's a logical ambition to be at the front. Alpine are just like, well, we want to be third best in the championship. Okay, but how are you going to do that? We're just going to keep on building the car and we're going to get there. There's no substance to doing that. So if they go out and they get Adrian Newey, that is a statement to say, do you know what? We're not this team anymore who just say, we're going to go get third place and we're just going to hope that we build a good car. No, we are now going to do the right things, get the people in the right places, and we're going to move forward and we're going to become one of the top teams. And obviously bringing back Flavio Briatore in a very much a lead role could be setting those stones to just move forward and be able to make that challenge.
If Alpine is able to pull this off and sign Adrian Newey, they're going to be like my favorite 1986 rom-com starring Molly Ringwald. Pretty in Pink.
You got to stop with these because you're just losing me, man. You're just losing me. I have no idea. But I'll put it on the recommended film list.
It's a great movie. You've never seen Pretty in Pink? It's a classic.
I haven't seen Pretty in Pink. I'm sorry.
I know you weren't really alive in 1986. I mean, I was only two then, but it's a classic.
If you come over to the UK again, or I'm in the US, we'll snuggle up on the sofa and we'll watch it together. How's that?
All right. All right. Moving on. I'm going to introduce our next subject by quoting a famous song from Queen. I see a Kimmy Antonelli in a Merc. Scaramouche, Scaramouche. Can you drive FP1?
Okay, we're back. There we go. That was good. I enjoyed that one. I really, really did enjoy that one. That was very good. We've had a few slow burners today, but James is back, everybody. We are good. Yes, Kimmy Antonelli. Seat fit at FP1. And you know how I keep on saying he looks like a regen of Ayrton Senna?
Yes.
I'm now, whilst I do still think that, I now actually think, looking at him, some people said Tom Holland. I was like, I kind of get that vibe, yes. But no, in fact, my girlfriend made it a very, very clear point that said, not Tom Holland, but one of Tom Holland's brothers. I think it's like Harry is his brother. Spitting image.
Harry Holland right now.
I'm pretty sure is him.
Is Harry Holland also an actor?
He's done
some
bits.
Yeah, he's an actor. Yeah, I see it.
With the long
hair.
Wow,
it's like spot on.
And I feel like those two now. So when we talk about people to play drivers from that previous podcast episode, we can add Harry Holland into the mix with Kimmy Antonelli.
Good for Harry Holland. Let's hope he books this role in the Kimmy Antonelli biopic
early. Be the first Italian on the grid since Antonio Giovinazzi did some FP1s trying to get the Haas seat. So yeah, it's such a surprise for me. I feel like that not having that many Italian drivers on the grid, when they were so good back in like the early days of Formula One. Obviously,
right.
The first champion, Farina, Alberto Ascari, a great driver. And then you look at the early 2000s, Jarno Trulli was a top driver. Fisichella as well was a good driver and scored a lot of points there. But then since then, it's just, we've kind of lost the Italians, but also it's a very similar thing to Brazilians as well, I suppose.
Right. Well, I think it really comes down to the fact that 7 out of the 10 teams are headquartered in the UK, right? I mean, I know Haas is technically an American team and they have stuff in North Carolina, but, you know, you have Sauber in Switzerland, you have Stake and Ferrari in Italy, and then everything else is in the UK. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you just have two. Yeah, in Italy, you have RB, which I believe are wanting to move over to the UK and be in the same facilities as Red Bull, not 100% sure on that, but I'm sure I read that somewhere. Mm-hmm. And Ferrari, obviously, Ferrari is Italy.
Yeah, right.
But it is strange because, yes, it's always good to have a great national driver to spur on a nation. Obviously, the UK's been very lucky that it's always had a good British driver throughout most of the history of Formula One. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say every year, but I'd say at least every sort of generation, there's always been an exceptional or at least a good driver there to get people into motorsport and into racing. Obviously, Netherlands hasn't really had that, but now it does. It has Max Verstappen that's obviously motivating a lot of Dutch nationals to get their kids into karting and be like, go give this a go, and Max Verstappen is now your hero. Whereas Italy doesn't have that. But one thing they do have, and one thing they've always had that's always been at the top, is Ferrari. Like, mm-hmm. Italians live and breathe Ferrari. So the fact that we haven't had a, you know, not even just a driver that is always on the grid, an Italian driver always on the grid, is quite rare and is quite surprising for me, especially after Antonio Giovinazzi dropped off. So it's quite of a shock for me, but because there were so many so early on and so many good drivers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think maybe there were some. Giovinazzi was what, with Sauber for how many years? For 3 years?
Yeah, I think he did maybe 2020 or maybe 2019 to 2021, end of 2021 season.
Yeah, and he did simulator work for Ferrari and was confirmed and was a reserve driver. So, like, you know, I think maybe they were hoping that he would impress enough that they could justify putting him in a seat at Ferrari, but it just never materialized. It just never happened. But he's been killing. He's been killing it in WEC. I mean, he won 24 Hours of Le Mans last year for Ferrari, of Corso. And like, that's. I mean, if you're not gonna still be in Formula One, winning 24 Hours of Le Mans is like not bad.
Yeah, and for Ferrari as an Italian, that must be an exceptional thing to do.
Yeah. So he's doing all right.
He's doing all right.
So I'm excited.
He's not in Formula One.
Right. So I still know we haven't gotten the hard launch. We still have no official announcement, but it feels like it's going to happen any day.
No.
Kimi Antonelli is going to be driving for Mercedes in FP1. We'll be excited to see what he does at Monza.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Speaking of Monza and speaking of Ferrari, we got to talk about this limited drop that just came out from the Scuderia. Because my oh my, if I had unlimited funds, I would be buying everything.
It is sexy. And I am going to admit that I have bought myself the shirt.
I've already ordered it.
Yeah, I bought myself the shirt because it just looks so good. Everything about it, Monza just seems to deliver for Ferrari. They know how to please their fans.
Right.
The livery is the same, sadly, though. I am so disappointed about that. I said this at the start of the season. Every car being black is really, really annoying because they all are going to blend into each other. They all look the same.
Yes.
And they don't stand out. And Ferrari is obviously amazing. It's Ferrari red. It pops and you're able to spot it quite easily. But when I saw some renders on social media and just some pictures on social media of what a black Ferrari could look at with still the white and yellow stripe, chef's kiss. It was incredible. And I am disappointed it's not on the grid. Yes, okay, with all the other cars that are just carbon, it would be annoying. I agree. But I'm disappointed.
I think the novelty, here's the thing. At Monza, I feel like a Ferrari livery has to be red. I feel like iconic Rosa Corsa. However, I would love if at least once a year they deviated from that and did a full different color. Like white Ferrari would be incredible. When last year they teased that they might do a blue one. It was this year at Miami. Right.
Yeah.
This year in Miami, when they teased that they might do a blue one, and then it was just like a little bit of blue, like everyone was disappointed. People wanted to see a full ass blue Ferrari. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Would love to see a full.
Talking.
Yeah. Would love to see a full yellow Ferrari. Just like once a year, give us something different at a race that's not in Italy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like yellow would work really well because obviously the logo is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be a color that really works. And yellow is one of the main colors that is part of the helmets, especially. Carlos Sainz, his helmet looks absolutely stunning. Charles Leclerc is his same usual style. It's just black with yellow finer details, but looks really, really good. As I've already said, the shirt looks amazing. So I bought one of those. And I feel like I've actually got quite a lot of the Ferrari special editions. I remember I got the yellow shirt when they did the yellow and the yellow overalls, but sadly didn't bring the yellow livery. But I did get myself the yellow shirt, and now I'm getting myself the black shirt just because, yeah, it just looks so good.
It looks
and they
so
just
good.
Do such good merch when they do their one-off and their drops. But they need to follow through. Stop teasing us and give us a one-off livery that is the full car. Not some small little detail. Ferrari, please. Just the full car.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the race this weekend. The Formula One Pirelli Gran Premio d'Italia 2024. It's race weekend at Monza International Autodromo. All right.
Are you on the next flight to Monza by any chance? Because I feel like they're going to need you. National anthem.
My wife's
not the national anthem, but for the national anthem, we're going to need you singing it.
My wife and I almost went to Monza this year. We almost went to Monza this year.
Oh, man.
And then we just couldn't figure out the scheduling. But maybe one day. But let's get to it. Monza predictions, Temple of Speed, incredibly famous speed track. You know, with the exception of Silverstone and Monaco, you know, arguably one of the most iconic tracks on the Formula One calendar. Everyone gets excited for Monza, but especially if you're a member of the Tifosi, if you're a member of the Ferrari fam. I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Predictions wise, I feel like it's going to be very different, of course, to what we had at Zandvoort. Zandvoort was very much McLaren's strong track. They have been really good in the slow speed corners. More those twisty circuits. Good at Hungary, good at Monaco, of course. But now we go to Monza. Now, I feel like Monza would be a circuit that's maybe more similar to Austria, which is obviously quite a few races ago. But the two teams that were standouts were Red Bull and McLaren. Red Bull could have dropped off a little bit since then. McLaren could have stepped forward. Mercedes have been very good in Silverstone and Belgium, but those have had tracks that have had more high-speed corners. I'm still yet to see, actually, the new Ascari chicane, because I'm pretty sure the curbs are a lot flatter. So those corners are going to be a lot more high-speed, so that might actually suit the Mercedes car a lot more. Ferrari, I would have gone for P1. Because I said this conspiracy theory that we're going for Leclerc's home win and a Ferrari home win. But you know what they didn't do, James? They didn't go with the black carbon livery. If they stripped off all that paint, the car would have been lighter. They would have been a rocket down the straights. But no, they want to keep the red paint on. So for that reason, I'm going to put them down in two. I think my race winner for... Should we start with a winner or should we start with fifth?
What's I'm going to start with fifth and go back to P1.
Okay, I'll go my fifth first and your fifth. So I will go. Oh, actually, let me. You go first. I need to think about this. Actually.
I'm just gonna do my whole thing for you right now.
Okay. You go full thing.
I think because of how we saw Mercedes at Zandvoort, I feel like they are not going to make it. Lewis and George Russell are not going to make it into the top five. I think we're going to see McLaren's very strong, but I don't think McLaren is going to win this race. And listen, these predictions are not expert predictions. These are my fan predictions. These are what I want to happen. These predictions are from my heart, not my brain. So I'm putting Oscar Piastri at P5. I'm putting Charles Leclerc at P4. I'm putting Lando at P3. I think Max is going to get P2. And P1 in his very last race at Monza for the Scuderia, I'm putting number 55, the spicy chili pepper, Carlos Sainz.
I actually really like that. Sainz seems to be spurred on more driving in Monza in front of the Tifosi than I feel like Leclerc does.
Yes.
I feel like he's always done better in qualifying. And usually Leclerc is the qualifying driver over Carlos Sainz, but Monza is where Sainz seems to be able to pull out. So actually, I do rate those predictions. I don't think Ferrari's going to win, but if I were to pick one as well, yeah, I think that's really, really smart. Carlos Sainz at the top. And I also like that that P1 for him in his last race in front of Tifosi.
And I'm also doing it based off of your conspiracy theory that they've been developing their car just for Monza, knowing that they aren't going to win constructors.
Okay, I got to stick with that as well. So I'm going to join you. I'm going to say Carlos P1 because I've got to stick with the conspiracy theory. I started the conspiracy theory. We've got to stick with it. So Carlos P1. P2, then I'm going to go with Lando. Then I'm going to go with Max. followed by Oscar, followed by Leclerc.
Love
so
it.
I think we're going to have a similar top five once again, but I think we've just swapped Lando and Max around and Oscar and Leclerc around.
I love it.
I think that's a good prediction. We, of course, are doing these predictions without seeing any FP1 action. The only on-track action we've seen so far is the safety car in the wall. Fingers crossed that doesn't happen for the main race and the safety car gets around nice and safely where we are. Anything else that we think is going to happen around Monza?
I just think we're going to have a good time because there is nothing more fun than watching Ferrari fans just like lose their mind. And
best podium on the season as well.
Yeah. I'm excited just for the people watching alone, not just the racing. I'm excited for the vibes that we're going to get at Monza.
What my bucket list, I feel like, for Formula One is to be on the start finish straight for the podium ceremony. But I want to be in that crowd because I feel like it's one of the best crowds to be, one of the best podiums as well. And also, it has to be topped off by a Ferrari driver winning or at least being on the podium to make it even better.
I just want to know the elation and joy of what it's like being around Ferrari fans, like you're saying,
yeah.
when Ferrari podiums at Monza, and then you're part of the rush of people like that are just rushing to the getting ready for the track invasion, like you're saying, like, oh man, I don't know. There's something incredibly romantic about it.
Yeah. One day, hopefully we'll both be there.
It's like being part of the running of the bulls.
Yeah. Just don't get stampeded. Watch out for the trample. Everyone for themselves. It's like the Hunger Games. Everybody fighting for their lives to get there. And that, I think, is a great way to wrap up today's podcast. Thank you very much, James, for joining me as per always. Make sure you go check him out on social media. Follow the WTF1 official social accounts. And make sure you're also following on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to this podcast as well. Follow myself. I'm Hayden Gullis. Make sure you check me out on social media too. And we will see you on the next one where we talk about whatever happens at the Italian Grand Prix. Enjoy the race and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bettering your business takes working with the best. With the James Hardie Alliance, you gain access to leads, training, networking, and support from the number one brand of siding in North America. Achieve new levels of success by joining the James Hardie Alliance today.